It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is getting older, on average. According to projections from the state's Department of Administration, the number of people over 65 will increase from almost 780,000 in 2010 to over 1.5 million in 2040.
One of the challenges facing the state as the population ages is the need to make sure seniors have opportunities to be socially active. There are big benefits to mental and even physical health, and there are obstacles from transportation challenges to hearing loss.
In just a bit, we'll check out efforts around the state to make sure seniors do have access to those social connections.
First, we dig into Wisconsin research into the health benefits of those connections and find out why social well-being is good for our physical and mental health as we age. Megan Zielsdorf is an assistant professor at the UW-Madison School of Nursing and co-lead of the Community Partnerships Corps at the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. Megan, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be with you.
All right, now social connection feels like a pretty good thing on its own, but how does it actually translate into better mental and physical health, especially as we age?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a lot of times when you're hearing about social connectedness and health, you'll only hear about one pathway. But the really exciting thing about social ties, especially in later life, is that they're actually impacting health along a couple of different pathways, oftentimes at the same time. So for one thing, it's actually easier to live healthy, to engage in health behaviors if we have a companion along with us, right? So continuing an activity that we love as our lives change while we age, maybe as medical issues pop up and fade away, as sometimes we lose connections either because people move away or maybe they even pass. Having someone who can engage in activities with you or can help you get to where you want to go can help you maintain the social activities that you really like. And it makes it easier to try new things as well. It can make us feel more secure as we do so. So actually making healthy living easier is one of the main ways that our social relationships help us stay healthy as we age. It's also true that a lot of times it's easier to take care of someone else than it is to take care of yourself. So if you are cooking for someone else, if you're shopping for somebody else, if there's somebody else that you're trying to stay, you know, keep happy, it actually keeps you healthy too, rather than, you know, eating cereal. We know that we eat more poorly when we're by ourselves. We drink more alcohol. We stay inside more. It's just, it's easier to engage when you're doing things for other people too. And there's also just a level where having someone, a kind of another pair of eyes on your health can be really important. So for instance, you know, someone who notices that the cold you have is getting worse and convinces you to go to the doctor before it turns into something more serious. We actually oftentimes see people who had a companion who noticed, say, a really small symptom of a stroke, like a droopy eye or something. And so a lot of times when we seek medical attention, it's because someone else noticed that we should. So we cut off problems before they get worse. There are also, though, other pathways by which social ties can help us stay healthy. So a major way that we focus on the way that, say, social supports that we have in our lives, whether they are emotional supports or whether they are sort of material, tangible support, they can help us navigate challenges. These might be, we talk about social support, particularly emotional support, as a stress buffer. Stress can be really bad for our health, especially when it's chronic. Social support is something that is really important for coping, whether it is with a big emotional challenge that comes through, or whether it's just, you know, we need someone to assist us for a bit with, say, caregiving responsibilities that we have, with a financial crisis that maybe we're navigating suddenly. Having other people around, having a social network can help us make it through these before it impacts our health. And there's one more way that I will mention. I focus specifically on maintaining cognitive health as we age, maintaining as many memory and thinking skills as we can. And I think it's important to recognize that in terms of people maintaining good memory, social connection, social relationships, social engagement is actually a form of exercise for our brain. So the give and take of conversation, of being with another person and noticing what they're doing and responding yourself in the same way that, say, your physician might recommend a crossword puzzle or Sudoku or something, social activity is a form of mental exercise in the same way.
I want to make sure I'm hearing you right. I know a lot of your work focuses on Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. I know there's not a 100% cure or prevention method, but if I'm hearing you right, social connection, having friends and acquaintances and interacting with them can be a significant difference maker in development and progression of dementia?
Yes, we understand now more than ever that social isolation is a risk factor for dementia. So all of the ways I just mentioned, they support both your body health, your vascular health, they keep your blood pressure low, they keep your physical activities and your muscle tone high. But yes, they also keep your brain in shape, keep those neural connections growing, keep your stress low, keep your mental health better. All of these we think are really important for preventing cognitive symptoms as we age, preventing cognitive impairment or slowing it down. There's actually a lot of research happening right now that suggests that even if you have Alzheimer's related changes happening inside of your brain, you are more resilient to them. You are less likely to show symptoms the more active your brain is. And social activity is a big part of that.
Now, we might think of this as an individual thing, right? Like, oh, I should get more socially connected to help my brain in the future. But elsewhere, you, Megan, have encouraged communities to think of social connection and isolation on the other side as a public health issue. Why is that?
Yeah, so I am an epidemiologist and a public health researcher, and I think it's really important to view this, like you said, from a public health lens, where local communities, say our city or our county, they can put in infrastructure that makes it easier for people to stay connected to the activities they care about, to the people they love, to the people who help them stay engaged as they age. So we need people to have transportation available to them if their functional abilities change, if say they can't drive anymore or they don't feel comfortable doing so. We need to have the infrastructure in place that allows them to keep going to the restaurant that they really enjoy or to the bingo game that they like or to the book club that keeps them mentally active. So I really do think that there are community level solutions for keeping people engaged in the activities that they already enjoy and making it easier for them to try new things. I don't think that it's up to the individuals a lot of the time. I think people would like to stay engaged, and a lot of times they stop because they can't figure out how to keep doing it. That's a public health issue.
Megan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That was Megan Zielsdorf with the UW-Madison School of Nursing and the Community Partnerships Corps at the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. She researches the health benefits of social connection as we age. Now we check out efforts around Wisconsin to help make sure seniors in the state have the opportunity to build those social connections. Suzanne Morley is the Health Promotion Program Coordinator for the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging and coordinator of the Wisconsin Coalition for Social Connection. And Gina Locke is Director of the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country's Juneau County office. Gina, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Suzanne, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me.
All right, Suzanne, we just heard about the health benefits of social connection for seniors and this idea that, hey, this is a public health issue for communities. What kind of things do you see Wisconsin communities doing when it comes to promoting these kind of social connections for seniors?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good investment from our partners that really are being mindful about socially connecting the older adults that they serve in their communities. So they're offering health promotion programming. They're offering transportation to get to those programs if possible. They're doing home-delivered meals and training the home-delivered meal drivers on how to, you know, make more meaningful connections with that very short meal handoff. They are doing different events. They're holding senior proms or more activities and events at their local senior centers or spreading it out even more so throughout the communities that they're serving as well.
And Suzanne, I understand part of the concern that led to the creation of this Coalition for Social Connection here in Wisconsin was a rise in isolation for older people. How big a problem do you see that in our state?
Yeah, we do have some state data on that, and we see that social isolation is a really big issue and also loneliness. So just to level set, social isolation is having limited social contacts, and then loneliness is that subjective feeling of feeling lonely, and you can feel lonely in a room full of crowded people. But we hear quite a bit from our local organizations, primarily Aging and Disability Resource Center staff, tribal aging units, healthcare communities, public health departments, senior centers, and community-based organizations, that they are increasingly seeing that either A, people aren't coming to their programs or to their places to get connected, or the people that they are serving are seeing the health impacts that Megan was talking about earlier, and they're having more health impacts like heart disease or onsets of dementia and things like that. So people are definitely feeling the health impacts of social isolation and loneliness. And there's many, many reasons for that and why people might be socially isolated and lonely. And it's really been impactful to see the energy behind all of the great organizations that we have working to connect people in Wisconsin.
Gina, you are in rural Juneau County in central Wisconsin. What kind of challenges do you see seniors in rural communities in particular facing when it comes to how do I stay connected?
It's a very big challenge. We've seen it especially since the COVID-19 pandemic, where people are continuously coming into our office reporting that they are disconnected, that they are socially isolated and lonely. And unfortunately, much of the state of Wisconsin is considered rural, meaning that our counties and our smaller communities don't have access to senior centers, to YMCAs, to places that would otherwise be available to connect people. So it is a very large challenge. Where do these people go? How can they connect with one another in what capacity? So that's a very large challenge that many, many rural communities are seeing across the state.
And Gina, I want to focus in on one program you've got going there that I understand is getting picked up elsewhere in the state, the Men's Shed program. What is that?
So the Men's Shed program is actually a global movement, and it is nationally as well. But basically, it connects aging men together with one another, shoulder to shoulder. And so we know that aging men are at higher risk of loneliness, especially aging rural white men are at higher risk of suicide, mainly in our farming communities as well. So we have implemented a program here in Juneau County called the Men's Shed Program, and we've tailored that program a little bit, but it basically is a program for individuals age 60 and better, primarily men in Juneau County, providing them a opportunity to get together one time a month with one another, and it's being held at our local conservation club. So what we found is when we bring people into spaces that are more inviting and more welcoming and feel more like a natural environment that folks are used to, they are more apt to come back. So the conservation club is very simple. It is concrete floors with, a taxidermy on the wall, deer hunting, all the things. And so it has become a space that has really ignited an opportunity for social connection in our small rural community.
Suzanne, Gina's working in a rural community, as are many around the state. How about our cities and, larger towns? What kind of challenges do the people you work with in those kind of communities face?
I would say transportation is a concern. Reaching those underserved communities is also a concern. So reaching into the BIPOC communities, reaching into communities that serve Hispanic and Spanish-speaking older adults, communities that serve Hmong older adults as well, and some of those more urban centers is a challenge. And then we also see concerns with a low income and meeting the needs of, the basic needs of people, housing, food insecurity, all those sorts of things can impact someone's level of social connectedness.
Well, Gina, everybody I've heard so far has brought up that transportation issue. How do you tackle that, given that, hey, some seniors, it's no problem. They get in the car and they drive, whereas others, maybe can't drive anymore, or they might need specialized transportation depending on their level of ability in, you know, a rural area where, like you said, the senior center isn't around the corner. How do you try to meet people where they are and get them where they need to go?
So specifically for our men's shed programming, we are providing free transportation to the program. So if there is an individual who needs that specialized transit via wheelchair or whatnot, we are providing that service for them because we know that they are at higher risk then of social isolation and becoming disconnected from their community because of the difficulty getting out and about. So we are providing that as part of the program that we offer. We've also found that with the success of the men's shed program in Juneau County, the guys are offering to pick one another up. So we have individuals who are carpooling and there's four of them coming together in a vehicle.
Suzanne, part of what has me interested in this conversation now is Wisconsin is an aging state, right? We're going to have more people as a percentage of the population over 60, more people over 80, however you want to slice it. Do you see people in Wisconsin, local leaders and others, taking this issue of social connection for our aging population seriously? Is this on people's radars?
I definitely think it is. We have, like I said, we have such good energy with the Wisconsin Coalition for Social Connection. People really want to be invested in this topic and make meaningful change in their communities to serve the older adults in the most meaningful way that they can, to get people connected. So they're being mindful of social connection and all of the work that they do, whether it's delivering meals or providing transportation, putting on programs and activities, and then connecting with other agencies in their communities so that they can work together to do that. So it's been really exciting to see the level of drive in local communities that want to make an impact. And there is also communities that are working on intergenerational social connection, so getting older adults connected with younger people, and all of that has been pretty successful and continues to occur throughout the state.
Gina, can you take a few minutes to talk directly to that older Wisconsinite who's worried about social connection, or maybe their loved ones, and they want to get connected? How do they reach out in a local community? Where do they find these resources?
Well, the Aging and Disability Resource Centers are a great place to start. Usually those organizations are embedded in every community or every county across the state, and usually they are well aware of what programs are available for people, or they're co-sponsors of the programs that are being facilitated and put on. So I would encourage people to start there, and then also if they do have the local senior centers in their communities, to check out those places as well. But the ADRCs are basically a one-stop shop, and time again, that's a request that we're hearing from people coming in and from families calling in of how can I be more engaged, or how can I get my loved one more engaged in the community.
We'll leave it there. Gina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And Suzanne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Suzanne Morley is the Health Promotion Program Coordinator for the Wisconsin Institute for Healthy Aging and Coordinator of the Wisconsin Coalition for Social Connection. And Gina Locke is Director of the Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country's Juneau County office. Earlier, we heard from Megan Zielsdorf with the UW-Madison School of Nursing and the Community Partnerships Corps at the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. We've been talking about social connection for seniors as Wisconsin's population gets older over time.